Virtual Play, number 42, How to Run Gnakagok. Hi, welcome to Virtual Play. I'm Bill White, filling in for Mel White, and for this episode of Virtual Play, I'd like to take the liberty of talking about my game, Gnakagok. This is a game I wrote for an online indie game design competition back in 2004 that was interesting enough that I continued to work on it, and finally at Gen Con this year, I had hard copies of the rulebook and the card deck for sale at Indie Press Revolution. So the game is out there, and I think people are playing it, but if you're not a textual learner, the rulebook may not be the best way to learn how to play. The best way, obviously, would be to play with me. And I'm going to run the game at GaspCon in Pittsburgh in November, and then at Dreamation in Morristown, New Jersey in February. But if that's not possible, then I hope I can give you a sense of how to run the game using actual play recordings from the games I ran at Gen Con. Once you've got your players around the table, the first part of running the game is what I'll call the pitch. This is where you orient players to the game and get them in the right mindset to play. This is how Alexander Newman says that he does it. I describe the world as having a kind of Inuit and Eskimo sensibility. I make clear that it's night, that it's always been night, and that the characters live in a place of ice, fish, whales, seals, bears, walrus, lichen, and a rock or two. They live by the light of the stars, and both the ancestors and the forgotten ones are significant to them, although how, why, or in what form comes out in play. What makes the characters the player characters is that they have had their truth vision. They know that change is coming, and coming soon. As players, we know that the change that is coming is the first rising of the sun. That's about all I usually cover. I like how Alexander does it. Here's how I do it.
So the name of the game is Gnakagok, and Gnakagok is the name of the gigantic island of ice that floats in a starlit sea in a world that's never known daylight. And for all that time, your people, the Mitu, have lived as primitive hunters and fishers and gatherers on this island of ice. And they've revered the stars, whom they regard as the gods, the stern guardians of moral rectitude. They've honored their ancestors, and they've marveled at the handiwork of the forgotten ones who have carved Gnakagok into soaring spires, intricate labyrinths, and other fantastic structures. And for all that time, the stars have shone down on Gnakagok, and it has been night. But now, in the councils of the wise and the visions of the far side and the mutterings of Mad have come the idea that dawn is coming, the sun is rising, and soon the sun will rise above Gnakagok. And that will mean that everything that we have known as a people will change. And so this game is about you as individuals and the people as a whole confronting the change of their world.
In the rules, I try to make clear that you should figure out what to say in the pitch by focusing on what you find interesting or compelling about the setting, whether that's the mystery of the Forgotten Ones, the desolation of the Island of Ice, or the stern majesty of the stars. Once you've done that, the next step is to use the Gnakagok cards to create the situation of the world and the situation of the people. This gives players practice reading the cards and gets people thinking about and engaged with the setting.
And so we have feasting, to become satisfied, to be recognized and rewarded, the nine of flames, and then we have the man of storms, husband, to attend to one's obligations. So, and this is about what's going on in the world around us, what's happened to Gnakagok itself, that may signify the approaching change, at least to those who are paying attention. So, any thoughts about what that might mean? For, now remember, the world, not the people.
I mean, an obvious one to me is that we see all the male animals of the island begin to grow like huge and gluttonous.
Okay. Oh, nice. Nice.
Unless anyone doesn't like the...
Male animals have become huge and gluttonous. That's nice. Right, so now that is, we established that now as a fact that can be drawn upon in play. So have become huge and gluttons. And certainly that's a change that could prompt that. So that's enough, I think. So in the world around us, male animals have become huge and gluttons. Is the same true of human males?
I don't think so.
Not, okay.
Because that's not about us.
Not
right?
about us,
that's
exactly. About, yeah. It's not about us. Okay, so here's what's happening in the village.
And it kind of connected to what's happening in the world. But it's the Seven of Stars, Ice Flow, to trade, barter, and negotiate, counsel the Seven of Storms to engage in debate or discussion.
What do you think that means in terms of what's going on with us?
I'd like to point out, I don't have a specific idea, but the numeric meaning of both is really bad.
Right, it's two sevens. So, does this seem to be, is it connected to what's going on in the world? The fact that male animals become huge and gluttonous? Are we are
supplicating them by feeding them all our food? It's just an idea.
Yeah.
And perhaps there are terrible arguments about this practice.
Yeah.
Like
so the
village is tearing itself apart.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're
giving away all
these awful gluttonous
nice.
Sucks.
Yeah, gluttonous caribou, gluttonous supplicating animals by giving them our food.
Enormous bloated wolverines.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome. All right, so now we have enough in terms of what's going on in the world and within our people to create...
Here's another example of creating the situation of the world and the situation of the people.
First, the Ancient of Stars, the whale, to celebrate, to feel joy and express it without reserve, but also to lose hope, to spare. And it's that seems to suggest some kind of dichotomy or dualism, which seems to be, you know, joy and despair, light and darkness. And there's a couple of different ways to reading it, but let me just throw the floor open. Does anyone have a particular reading that leaps to their mind in terms of what's going on in the world around us?
A division.
A division. I think
that's
true.
The people who cling on to the old ways.
And that's what's going on in the world. Yeah, that's good. So the people are divided. Do you see that as a physical division or a cultural division?
Well, there are those that are looking forward to the dawn and those that are despairing.
Okay, I think that sounds good. I mean, that sounds reasonable. All right. So I think we can write, you know, and it may be that these factions are actually geographically distributed. So you have we have the star worshiper faction. And the sun worshiper faction. So now we know what's going on in the world. Now we can look at this, and this is what's happening for in our village with us specifically. So, to pursue strenuously a foolish aim, leaping salmon, the five of storms, and to engage in debate or discussion, counsel, the seven of storms.
Oh, this is obvious to me what's going on.
What's going on, Reynolds?
There is a vigorous debate or discussion over these two things because each of them believe the other is pursuing strenuously a foolish aim.
All right, so in our village, we can say strenuous debates.
Under bad medicine?
We're just writing it somewhere on this map. Okay. So these are now facts that can be invoked in play for game mechanical oomph.
Okay.
Okay, but we're making note of them so that they're facts on the ground. So these, I write this here because it's facts about the village. These here because it's facts about the world outside the village.
So notice that the distinction between the world and the people can be sliced in two ways. One, the situation of the world is about the geographical, meteorological, or even cosmological changes happening in the world, while situation of the people is about the cultural changes happening to the Nitu. The other way of slicing is that the situation of the world is about the broader circumstances of the Nitu as a whole, while situation of the people refers specifically to our village. This distinction lets you finesse otherwise hard-to-parse card combos. The next step is to create characters. The places where players get hung up in character creation are, one, reading their cards to come up with change hope, change fear, and truth vision, the building blocks of the character, and two, coming up with gifts and burdens to use as resources and weaknesses in play. To help with the first, you have to be prepared to offer candidate readings, but players ultimately will want to own their own interpretations, so you should suggest strategies for interpreting the cards rather than your own interpretations per se. I think I do okay at that here.
three.
The first card that I give you is your truth vision. It is what is telling you that change is coming. It is the thing that convinced your character that the world is changing and action needs to be taken. Right? The other people of the village may be complacent as of yet, but you are not complacent. You believe that action needs to be taken. So we read that first card to tell you what it is that has convinced you that change is coming. That's your truth vision. The second card is your change hope. Your change hope is what you hope will emerge or will happen as a result of the change occurring or of successfully resisting the change. The third and final card is your change fear. It is what you are afraid of will come about as a result of the change or of failing to resist the change. And so we read these cards sequentially, to sort of let them inform each other and tell us, who your character is. I think I've said this, but the fundamental act of the game is reading these cards and interpreting them, in this way. And so it perhaps requires, a little bit of, training your mind to do it. Sometimes the meaning leaps out at you. Sometimes it takes a little work. So if anyone needs help, you feel stuck.
Are these very specific to your characters?
Yes,
to your character's attitude?
Let me see. Give me a little bit more, because I'm not sure I remember.
My first one is also this huge, really good set of cards. To be initiated and passed into adult.
Yeah, absolutely.
That could be my character.
Yes.
Or it could be my view of what we want to do.
Let me see. The former rather than the latter.
So when I have Woman of Flames, it says wife. Can the thing that persuaded me be my wife?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My wife told me and I trust her.
To receive loving advice. Yeah.
So,
right.
I'm fine with my truth vision. I pulled a really weird card for change hope.
Okay.
Kind of.
Yes. So sometimes you get a change hope card that seems negative, right? You to hope for quarreling, to hope for loud and violent conflict, right?
That's what I got. Loud and violent conflict.
Right. And so it could. So you can't. I would try to find the meaning in that. So it may be that your character is a warrior who seeks glory in combat. I mean, that's a fairly positive way to spin that. This character seeks glory in combat, and so the seeks glory, and the only way they can do that is in loud and violent combat. So they hope they get the chance to do that, right? Or maybe they're a bully. Right? And so usually when a negative seeming card shows up, it perhaps means that the character is someone very unlike yourself.
Some players will need a lot of guidance from you.
So is anybody stuck?
Yes.
Does anybody want help? Okay.
Alright.
What do you got?
Do I prefer to be hidden but capable of sudden action?
This suggests that you were in such a position and you saw something. And so I would suggest that maybe you heard the animals talking.
Okay.
Right? And they said something that convinced you that you need to do something. You need to take action in some way. So what do you think the animals might say? Like, we're going to eat up the substance of the people until they are no more. Something like that, right? That's a little fairy tale. If you want grittier, if you want more realistic, you could go that way too. I mean, you've sort of been pointed in a high fantasy direction by our setup. But if you wanted to, sort of take your character at a grittier level, you can do that too. Maybe you overheard the shaman talking. Maybe you overheard someone else speaking, and that told you something.
This setup wouldn't necessarily need to be high fantasy.
Fabulous though, right? I mean, it's
a little fabulous.
A little fabulous. That's all that I meant.
Yeah, I think.
And I did not mean that in a bad way. I mean, I think that's great. I think that's what the system is designed for. So now, check this out though. Your change hope is to know or perceive to understand as a wholeness, right? So clearly, you are seeking knowledge, right? It's a goal, and so maybe you overheard something, or you want to be in a position. You were in a position where that would matter. But you're afraid. What you're afraid of is, just beginning great work or significant pass, right? So could it be that what you want, is
the knowledge of the stars, right? But you're afraid that gaining the knowledge of the stars will require you to take on responsibilities that you don't feel you want to take on. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. I don't know how to phrase this in truth, vision, change hope, and change fear, but
go ahead.
I was thinking maybe I overheard the shaman talking about placating the animals.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'm in a position where he trusts me, and that's why I can
be hidden. Yes. 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 Okay.
I perceive the shaman as knowing, you know, perhaps becoming a shaman as knowing or perceiving, but I also fear becoming a shaman.
Absolutely.
Sure.
That's great, right? So what I have here is your truth vision is, well, the shaman trusts you, right? Trusts you, and so you overheard his conversations with animals. Ritual interactions with them. Your changed hope is that you achieve the status of shaman. You're afraid of the responsibilities of shamanhood, right? You're afraid of taking on the responsibilities of shaman.
Other strategies you can recommend include looking at the suit or numeric meaning of the cards rather than just the surface meanings in order to find something to hang an interpretation on. Look at your cards in combination with each other to see how they hang together, how they shape one another. And finally, listen to other players and their stories or the stories they're coming up with to see if you can make some connection to other characters in the story. Andrew Morris, one of my favorite players, says that when he is choosing gifts, the thing that he does is pick something that I have, something that I know, and something that I am. And that mnemonic helps him go through and figure out who his character is and what kinds of things his character might be characterized by. Similarly, you can imagine in choosing burdens, someone choosing something that marks me, something that haunts me, or something that I've done wrong as the burdens that this character carries. Now let's talk about running the game. The important strategies here are all about getting to the crux of the turn. That is, getting the player to make a decision that will let you move into the resolution. And so the things that you can do are, first, look to the change hope and change fear in trying to make a decision about how to interpret the cards and figure out what's going on. Again, use those change hope and change fear in introducing new elements to the fiction. Push for a commitment to action. That is, it's all about getting the player to commit to a course of action that can then drive the resolution of the turn. And then finally, go to the dice. Use the resolution system in order to do what it's intended to do, which is drive role-playing.
Phil, do you have a vision of what your guy might be doing right now? You know, I mean, I think we understand the context of what's been going on in the village or what's happening. The notion that there is this, these gross, corpulent animals milling around who occasionally we must gather together our meager substance and go and placate them with offerings of food. Do you see yourself doing anything particular at this time? Like, maybe are you accompanying the shaman out to one of these supplication rituals or something else? I mean, what's your vision of what this guy is up to? Where do you want to take your story?
I think that's probably actually a good one.
Okay. All right. So he's heading out with the shaman to supplicate the animals. And so we throw one card that's the situation card that tells us what's going on as he does this. Feasting. He becomes satisfied. We recognize their reward. Well, feasting. There we go. And so I think the animals want more. You bring, you know, loads of fish and loads of meat and the polar bears and the wolves and other animals, with flavoring mouths, say to the shaman, more, we must have more. And the shaman says, there is no more. There is only us. And so they bring us the flesh of man. All right. And let me see.
Okay. And so the old shaman refuses, right? And says, no, I cannot. I cannot. And so I think, if this breaks anything for anybody, you know, let me know. But I think, you know, that the lead polar bear, swipes at the old man with his paw, right? Sends him hurling across the ice, and then the wolves pounce on him and eat his flesh. And then the polar bear takes a piece, you know, takes a chunk, and with, you know, blood dripping from his white fur maw, says, "Bring us more." What do you do? Now, at this point, we're gonna go. All you have to do is make a decision, right? Do you refuse? Do you go back to the village and say, "Hey, we gotta do something"? I mean, at this point, all you have to do is make the decision about what you're gonna do. Like, you know, what do you want to do? You don't have to. And then we'll just move right into the resolution of that. We'll find out what the consequences of your decision are. So, what do you do? Do you run away?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so you run away. So is it cool with you that the crux of your turn is about what happens when you run away? So it's about you running away out over the ice?
Here's another example of a turn. You'll notice that this time the player has a much stronger idea of where he wants play to go, and so as the GM, you are just following the player's lead, and then when you move to resolution, trying to push hard against their character conception. Of course, that can lead to differences of vision, and you have to respect that.
And now the action moves to Tony. Tony, do you have an idea about where your character has been all this time?
Oh, yes, I absolutely do.
Lay it on me.
I believe that my character has taken sharp bones from the walrus graveyard, big sharp bones, and dragged them all the way to the sacrificial altar of the forgotten, which is this huge ice table with runnels with a deep black red stain deep into the ice. And she is building a little hut of pain that gashes the stomach under the ledge of the table to hide from the stars. And people are watching her and asking her to bring her wisdom back to the village where the wise people of the village can interpret it.
Gotcha.
And she's just fucking.
I must shake your hand.
Alright, so this is the situation. To arrive at a new place or be unrecognized.
Well,
I think you return to the village.
I think that yes, she returns to the village.
Okay.
With blood flowing down her face.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And you have
basically, she leaves a thin but recognizable trail of blood from the sacrificial table into the village.
And I think we can go right to consequences, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, here we are, right to consequences. True love, to love selflessly. And that's just one of us will get to interpret what that means. And so now, is this about you persuading the village, or is it about whether or not your visions are true, or is it about whether you are clever enough to interpret?
I think it is whether or not the village is cursed for my presence here, for my sins, or whether the shamans can be wise enough to make something of my babble.
So is that your soul?
Yes, soul.
Soul. Absolutely.
So terrible.
So
thank you.
Your sin is your existence. Oh my God.
What?
Your sin is your existence.
That's horrible, Tony. Oh yeah.
So we're in the village. It's soul, and are you pursuing your change hope or confronting your change fear?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, she's in her bed. Merge. It must be made clean.
It must all be made clean. And she's smearing blood all into her eyes and stuff. And she has these scars from having done this a lot before that are eye-twisting in scruple patterns, and now they're running with blood.
I definitely see the changed fear, so definitely add that in. So it's 2 + 1. And tell me about the change hope about purging the lands of the unworthy. So that means
when we are made clean as the ice, they shall tread upon us to their glory, and we shall be exalted.
Oh, all right. So add in your change. Add in your song.
Okay.
So
that's awesome.
So roll six.
Now, I should have told Simon. I forgot to. One of the things you can do with your
cards. Yeah, I can make more. I can make more. But I think I'm okay starting slow.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you don't want to use all your ammunition.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So strategically.
Oh, this village is so totally going to get cursed.
So right now, you're winning intermediate narration. How much bad medicine do you have?
I have 2.
You win intermediate narration. Tell me what's going on.
Intermediate narration. Chocta comes out and takes one look at this and says, no. She cannot be here. Her place is outside. She is to be respected. She is to be adored, but elsewhere.
Okay, good. That's perfect. All right. So.
Nice.
So,
you have a point figure there. Are we doing the flip?
No. That's an immediate narration.
Oh,
that doesn't affect the dice. I mean, basically, right now he's winning, right?
So, right.
I need to look at the. Oh, there's the situation card. So I get its root value of 3 to the situation.
You have to start because he got narration.
Yeah, I
got it.
Right? And that means that he's the last one to react instead of me. So,
very nice. Good roll.
So, the shaman Choctaw wants to be respectfully driven out of the village, and some of the star worshippers sort of meekly come forward to try and usher you out, and pushing you out. She's cursed. She'll bring a curse upon us if she stays. Drive her out. He says Choctaw.
Yeah, Choctaw.
And let's see.
Scars in eye-twisting patterns.
That's right. So those scars, people are, or look away, they can't listen to you because they can't bear to look at you.
Has not
confronted right.
Tone of voice on that one makes it all.
What is it? What's the last one?
Yearns for Chabala.
Are you going to bring that one in too?
I'm going to bring that one in right now. And so as she speaks, you know, she speaks of the stars and what they have to say. But just and Chabalak and Chabalak will love me once again once you have listened to my words.
I'm actually extremely uncomfortable.
Okay.
Because she thinks that this is a terrible sin, so she's trying not to reveal it.
Okay. All right, then I can't bring it in that way.
If he even enters the scene, she's going to become less coherent.
Less coherent, right?
Yeah, so you can do that. You can just have to stand there.
I'm fine with that veto because it makes sense that if he's not in the scene, I can't invoke it, so I don't invoke it, right? So all I have is the 4 that I have. So
an example that follows, notice how players describe what's happening and then translate that into game mechanical terms. That is, they narrate or roleplay what they're doing and then go back to the rules, their character sheets, and all the other game mechanical resources that are available in order to determine the game mechanical effect. But the fiction comes first.
it's your turn, we can throw a situation card for you. How do you see yourself in this particular scene, or is there a way to frame the scene up in a way that makes it play to how you want to see your story?
I'm angry and ranting.
Okay, good. So you're angry and ranting. Great.
Probably kind of uselessly, but that's what I'm doing.
Okay. So it's to swear a great oath or solemn vow. And so I think that what the scene is about is can you convince people not to jump, right? To return to the village and their old ways, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what it's about.
That's what I want.
Okay, good. And, you know, and so even though we're in the vein of the Forgotten Ones, I think we're still, because it's about your dealings with the village, so maybe we're in the village. Maybe we can use your, because it's not about being out on the ice. It's not about interacting with the Forgotten Ones. It's about can you persuade the people, right?
I mean, it's still about the people as a unit, I feel like. I feel like there's a chunk of village over here.
Okay.
It's not like it's you one-on-one.
Right. Yeah. So here's the consequence card of that. To seek solitude. So one of us gets...
We're going to get isolated. To
one of us will get to narrate that. So I think it's face. Don't you?
It's what?
That you're using your face.
Yeah.
You roll your face.
Yeah.
And I think it's... Ancestors' mana, okay. And now are you confronting?
I'm definitely confronting my fear.
Absolutely, you're confronting your fear. So add that mana there as well.
Okay.
So
that's eight.
That's eight? Okay, so roll those dice. Do you want to make this action more consequential?
I think this action has all the consequences it can possibly have, so yes.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Your face is
three? Three, yeah, great.
Do
yeah,
you want to use one of your cards for whatever purpose you want to do?
You can spend good medicine, spend it before good medicine.
Or you can't you buy a new trick?
Gifts don't give more dice. You can spend a card for more dice or to change more dice.
Okay.
Right, so you want to, this one.
I want a ton of dice in this, because this is deciding the fate of our whole village.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, let's throw that.
That's number three.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
So then,
we roll? Yeah, now you can roll. Roll and hand him.
Yeah, there it is. The thing.
Sort them out.
Bad medicine.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 8. So you win intermediate narration. So
okay.
You're ranting and raving. What happens?
I'm ranting and I'm telling people of the omens I've seen. The world, the whole world is changing. The moon is pregnant. This is a time of crisis. That's why we're being pulled in far too many directions. We need to reunite. We need to stop listening to Kiklik. He's trying to kill us all. We need to stop listening to Tikmok. Because by
nobody listens to me.
Well, they listen to you. It's just bad for the tribe.
Good.
And the old shaman, that by placating the animals, they're starving us and defying the omen of the moon.
Good. That's good. That's great. So I think, so some people begin to attend to your words, but others begin to move out on this pier of ice that projects out into the air. And I think one person, somebody, a young girl,
you know, like a, yeah, like a young woman says, I believe in the forgotten ones. I believe in the air. And hurls herself out into the air. And people rush to the edge to look. And they say, I don't see her. Where is she? She has become a starlight.
She's been eaten by one of the bears.
But we never saw her. So that's 3 points for the situation, right?
I'll turn a 5 to a 6. A 5 to a 6. And a 4. A 4 to a 5.
Let's see. Your many demanding grandchildren pull up and say, Grandma, come with us. We're going to jump. We're going to become a starlight. And you're old and frail, so we carry you along. So that's 3, 1, 2, 3. And let me see. Loves and hates.
I love her.
Oh, wait, here's the map.
Okay. Everybody loves me.
Are there any hates pointing at you? Or do you hate anybody?
No.
Well, yes. Yeah, I hate you.
Who do you hate?
She hates me and Tickler.
I hate both of them.
You hate both of them? Right. So your spitting anger at them is unseemly. An old woman should not talk like that about the about men of the tribe. Not only can she not speak to men. Oh, no, you're not a shaman.
It's the other way around.
Yeah, anyway, so. But it's unseemly. It's unseemly of you. So that's 2 more. And so I'll change that 3 to a 5. And that's all I can do. So, Dylan, you get to react. Anything.
Tikmok sorry. Tikmok, knowing the ways of the women.
That's right. You can actually talk to them.
And you know all the women's costumes and stuff too. But yeah.
Says, do not kill the child blesser. You will destroy the tribe.
Okay, good. So that's presence on the scene, ways of the women, and anything else? All right, no, that's good. So that's 2.
So
the actions.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and give myself a new 3-point gift.
Good.
Called well-developed princess health preservation.
Okay.
Okay. So, Ticklick pushes past this squabbling and strides confidently towards the front of the ice pier. It's perfect. Watch me carefully, everybody. Okay, so that's
your presence on the scene.
And yeah. My well-developed sense of self-preservation.
Absolutely.
And, and I see just how far down it is from the very top of the Great Spiral Tower.
Right, that's fine. Excellent. Nice.
So, yeah. I think you have some stuff to throw down, so I'm just going to turn all of these into 5s.
Ah, okay, very good.
Okay, and I'm going to take some more bed medicine before this and get increase my respect to an elder by 3.
Okay.
I just really do a lot of respect.
I am.
Cease your squabbling. We need to be a tribe and unite. See, even Kiklik, he's recognized the error of his ways. This is insanity. It's suicide to walk off this ledge.
So what's that? Is this your first reaction?
Yeah, it's my first reaction.
Okay, so that's presence on the scene, respect due an elder, and how much is that?
That's 4.
So, total of 5?
Can I call in the Great Spiral Cowards?
He's already done it, okay.
So it's just once per scene.
Once per scene, yeah.
Okay. Animals go bad.
This is probably going to be our last scene.
Yes, this is the last scene, and we're going to wrap it up.
So,
yeah, so feel free to go all in.
That's 5. There's another round, so...
Yeah,
you may want to hold on some stuff. I get to react, and then you get the last chance. So,
can I call in my Defiant?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So, total of 6.
Okay.
Because you were kind of defined, so, I mean, so we'll take that as red.
Oh, you can definitely throw in the love you're getting from Tikmok.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do that second round.
Okay.
The last thing I want to play for you is a 15-minute excerpt that is a complete game turn. It begins with the determination of the situation, moves through intermediate narration and reaction phase, and all the way to final narration. And I think you'll see how players are concerned with both making the story come out right and manipulating or strategizing at a game mechanical level. And I think it's actually a pretty satisfying thing to watch. And there's also some lessons in terms of listening to what players are saying and making sure that in your efforts as GM, you're making all those things come together.
So, you're out on the ice, and confronting the father of walruses. Here's the situation. Chasm, to spill on a
He's going to drop us into the ocean.
Yeah, he really is.
So there's a couple ways of reading this. This turn could just be about, you've been spilled into the ocean, do you survive and who survives?
Or it could be Jan the Bandit's Javelin.
You and Jan the Javelin. Yeah.
Yeah, one or the other of us may fall in.
Right. You want it to be a physical contest about your might and prowess, or you want it to be...
No, this is a physical contest about our might and prowess.
Very good.
Because I got loads of stuff I can use for that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not...
So what I'm hearing you guys say is bring it.
Yeah, I'm hearing that.
Bring it against the father of walruses. All right. So I think we go right to the conflict.
Yeah, I think we do too.
All right. To come to a peaceful and contented agreement.
Yeah, that seems unlikely. Yeah.
Tell you what.
Yeah.
Nice. She's switching it.
Are you going to switch it out? All right.
To master or overcome.
But that could be either way.
Yes, it could.
Yes,
it
could.
So
it
depends on who narrates now.
What I'm hearing is not merely bring it, but, this just got real.
No. Here's what I'm saying. It's on like Donkey Kong.
There's your dice thing.
So. All right. So, it's body.
Oh. Oh, look. More bad medicine.
Right.
So, the amusing thing is my body.
What is? Yeah, your body, which is 2.
That is amusing. In a sort of, oh my god, we're so screwed
you
way.
Know what?
Yeah, you should have had me fight it.
I was such an amazing warrior until I lost my eye. Because I bested you, and you're the strongest man in the village.
I know.
All right, but it took. Yeah.
But the only reason that you did that is because the sun clearly wanted you to win, which is why
Totally. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Which is part of my problem here, too. You know?
So,
that's why I gave you that oath.
And you're so out on the ice.
Or at least I'm screwed. Maybe you're not. Because really, the Walrus King hates me. He doesn't hate you. Maybe he'll let you go.
Drowning kills all.
No, but if I die, you'll be free of that obligation.
That's true.
I think you're confronting your changed fear about no place in the new world.
Oh, yes.
Right? And now, if you want to, that's four corrections. Zero plus two, so that's two dice. If you wanted to, you can add dice by spending good medicine or by playing, taking bad medicine and playing a Ganaka card to have the new value.
Burn that good medicine.
There's no happy ending for Johnny.
You can burn up to six if you have the players in the pit.
Burning all six?
So that's six to two, so that's eight.
Nice.
I don't deserve a happy ending. I really don't.
Oh. Well, those twos are all counted. There's a
five.
But there's that, and the bad medicine. The bad medicine goes over here.
Oh, yeah.
So I think you got...
And how much bad medicine?
It's not as bad as
spend
it could
to
have
not
been.
Even affect her?
Yeah. So I can take up to six bad medicine out of her bad medicine. So I'll take all six. So you have nine bad medicine.
Screw you, Bill. I'm determined to have an unhappy ending.
No, that's not the issue.
No, I know.
Look where the bad medicine goes. Your unhappy ending will be the world's unhappy ending.
No! My unhappy ending means to be the world's good ending.
No.
It means to be the world's good ending.
Seven.
So I should have added six dice. Is that correct?
You did.
Okay. Right. So I win intermediate narration, and it's
because you spent her bad medicine.
Because you spent my bad medicine. Because I had lots of it.
So the father of all of us, this monstrous, water-sized creature, lunges onto the ice floe upon which you are confronting it, and you guys start sliding down towards its lashing tusks. Yes. And so that's an immediate narration.
Okay. First of all, I have a fearsomely large axe present in the scene. So, you know, Janet kind of spreads his feet and does a controlled slide down the ice, and he has his...
Okay.
He whips his axe off his back.
So friends on the scene, the fearsomely large axe.
And you know what? He knows that Chalabat has...
Yeah,
Chalabat's got his back.
Chalabat's got his back, you know? He was really kind of lost about Chalabat, but now he's...
Now I'm here.
You're here. He can take this thing. And the love that he has for Chalabat, you know? Like, he came to save him in the fight against the Walrus King. And
so that's two there.
Yeah, that's two there.
You remember your son back in the village?
Right.
Your daughter.
You call out to Chavalov to save some to the second.
Right.
So
and
six?
And so he gives a battle cry, right?
Nice.
As he's sliding down the ice, he's got the axe, and he shouts a fearsome battle cry, and it stirs Chavalov. And I'm gonna save the son for the dead. So
and you are a warmonger as well.
I am. I'm totally.
So making war here.
I'm making war.
So that's seven. What is it? Eight now.
I thought it was seven.
Seven. You're right. Seven.
Why are you holding up?
Is that? That's five.
Five plus two is seven.
Okay.
My thumb is a big old five.
So that's. So that was four.
Medicine is what you need.
Yeah, I know. So that's two. Three, four, five, six. Sorry, Chavalok.
Yeah, I know. It's all right. Listen, I got your back.
I'm at the Lost Star. I prophesy that the walls will be defeated.
Okay, good.
And I call upon the secret knowledge of the Ancient Ones to channel my thoughts to the walls. And I tell him to keep going to the place from which he's come.
Right. Your voice is upon the wind.
Yes, that's true.
Your voice is upon the wind. Nice. So we've got two or three.
That's not good, is it?
No.
What's your stats?
Two.
It's good for the world. It's not so much good for us.
Stick them down there. That'll work.
Three. Okay.
It's been nice knowing you, sir.
Yeah. I'm not finished yet.
Well, it's my scene. Yeah. So.
Me, right?
No.
Wait, no, you.
I get to go yet.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I may be conflicted.
Nice
I may be conflicted, but I'm a warrior.
You are a warrior. Yeah.
I'm also here.
You're here.
I'm the strongest man in the village.
You are.
And in my right hand is my grandfather's seal.
Yes, it is.
Walruses are vaguely shaped like seals.
And I'll sacrifice anything for the village.
Yes, right. Even your
because
life.
Of my life.
Even your life. Good. Okay, good to know. Loves?
He hates me.
Yeah.
I hate him.
Do you love anyone?
Yeah, I love your talk. If I don't get back to the village, there's no your talk, so...
So okay, you're acting on her behalf?
No. Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, Jannik isn't really made him and your deck public knowledge.
You're open. Can I use the walrus?
You can use one point of the walrus. I can use the other two.
I'll use the other point. I'll use the point from the walrus.
Okay. You can be on the walrus.
Here it is, and here I am.
Yeah, I mean, it's a walrus. You've fought walruses before.
Yeah.
I mean, you've hunted walruses before. Absolutely. You get to 1 point, but I get the other two.
Okay, that's fine. So that's six.
Six. Go ahead, do it.
Okay, one. Two.
We're playing
3, 4.
Sorry?
I don't know if
I can pronounce it. 5, 6. We're trying to sort of rescue ourselves.
Now I get to react, right?
I don't know if that was worth it.
Alright, so.
Huh?
He's going to flip a lot of those right back.
Yeah, that's alright.
Where are we?
It's all
finished. So, no, we are forbidden to go to the Jagged.
So hang on a second, can I readjust my strategy? So these were at fours, right?
That's where my character is.
Yeah.
Fours, yeah.
So I brought those down.
Timeline left.
I'm going to do this.
Dawn is
one,
coming.
Two, three,
I live in love.
Four.
Because
now it's harder to flip them back up.
Yeah. Never.
And we're going to lose. There's no way I can make us win. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably...
What are you
so, it's exactly... It's a nice flipper comes at you from your bad side.
Right.
Okay. Right, of course it does.
Of course it does.
Right. So that's... That's two for the scar. It's a giant supernatural walrus.
Two more from there.
Two more from that. And I also got two for the situation card. It's a giant supernatural walrus with big tusks. And it lashes. Not exactly.
So that's, we're talking about six now, right?
Six, that's six. All right. Jevlik has got your back, but can you really trust him? Because after all, he hates you. That's seven.
That's seven right there, yep.
Okay.
You don't... Yeah, I do hate you. Maybe my spear thrust wasn't quite as strong as it could have been.
It's okay, man.
I don't think those breaker applies.
No, it doesn't, because I'm actually...
You're fulfilling your own.
Thank seven? God for that.
You got 3 points?
Yeah.
You both would have been pretty screwed.
We're screwed already.
One...
He's going to win the conflict for sure.
I think right now we're just trying to head off the bad medicine.
Yeah, that's all we were. That's all I was doing. Yeah.
Three.
Four. Six.
Shoot. I don't do that.
Seven?
Yeah. Well, there is a five in there, you know, if you wanted to turn that up.
Let me see. There's one more five in there.
Yeah. You know what? I'll What was this? Was this 4 or 5?
4.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna.
You got 2 points.
I'm gonna save those 2 points.
Okay.
I'm gonna reserve those points. Okay. The father of walrus hasn't even really started fighting yet. He's really still on the board.
I have not yet begun to fight.
Next round. Anything?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, a world of yes. Okay, this is awesome sauce. So the father of walruses is completely mauling Janek with his tusks and his flipper, and Janek, he's coming at Janek from the bad side.
Fuck.
What was that?
Fuck.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that again.
And Janek, kind of everything, kind of, there's like a moment where everything kind of stops for him, and he thinks about as he was leaving the village, and Ertok told him that she would be with him. And he thinks about his son, because
daughter.
Oh right, sorry. He thinks about his daughter, and he kind of knows in that moment that, you know what, his daughter will. He's imparted her that strength.
The seed is strong.
And she's gonna be okay without him, right? The seed is strong, and she's gonna have the strength to live without him. And he thinks about his knowledge that the stars will leave him, and he thinks maybe it's a better thing that he won't be around to tarnish that new world once the stars leave.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah.
All right, do it.
And I think you've used everything else.
Yeah, I've used everything else. So I'm going to turn that back to good medicine, sir. Screw you.
Screw you, yeah.
Screw you, Mr. Hatch.
All right. Any other reactions?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
I'm running over. The stars burn me, so I'm in a little kind of white cloak. I'm trying to scramble down the ice. I've only got body of blood.
Yeah.
I'm crying. I'm saying, help him. Help him properly. What do you think you're doing? The village will die. You're behaving like children. You will not be adults until the sun rises. Help him.
So that's 3.
Okay.
Adelaide.
The dice.
Yeah, you just flipped dice.
Right. Move them all back again.
Fire.
You don't like that. Right.
You hear it, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Auric has another vision in the Forbidden Cave, and she flees out, and all of her worshippers, all of her followers are following her, as they will do, and they go through the other areas where the sun worshipper factions are between us and this area. So you've got the whole sun worshipper faction sort of following this thing and seeing their leader in peril.
Ah! And, yes, okay.
And if I hadn't mentioned before, she's a bit of a mad woman.
Yes, she is.
And also bug fuck crazy.
Yes. And
there are many seals here. And she basically grabs two of them and rides them out to the father of walruses. That's 7 so far. So she's basically only got her head above the freezing water, and she's in rags and stuff.
Okay,
so she's immediately turning blue because of court suffering. And she really, really loves this guy.
Yes,
so that's 3
eight.
More. Yeah. That's 3
thanks,
more.
Thanks,
that's 11
thanks
now.
Thanks to Simon there.
I do as well.
Where was I? Can I?
No, I'm not.
I'm sure. I think that may be it for me.
Yeah.
I think I can only do 11.
Yeah.
Bring the medicine. I brought Land Woman in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who do you love?
You!
You!
Oh, that's the 3. There.
Oh,
I got it mixed up.
Bitch!
No. I was like, why is this frowny face here then? But that's on this line.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
It is. Got it. All right.
So.
Yeah, 3. Nice. So go ahead.
Gosh.
Wow.
That's going to help.
I love how Toadie's kind of on the fringes of things, and then he, like, whoops at the big guns right at the end.
I thought I had you.
I know.
I thought you had me too. I was totally prepared to sacrifice myself to, you know, it's okay. I need to not be in the world.
I'm seeing it your bad medicine.
Yeah, yeah. It's
so always, well.
I think that's the way it's going to go.
10. And that's a tie, which you guys win.
The war has still got 2 points left.
Yeah, the war is still got 2 points.
Oh, no, but I haven't gone yet.
Neither of you.
Yes. Just to make it harder for him to go.
You going
to
stay out of this one?
No.
Are you going to be in?
Well, if I come in, it brings in my...
Yeah, that's true.
But I've still got three.
Then he can pull on Tony's, too.
You know what, and I...
What do you think?
I pulled in the child that you wanted.
Exactly. So you remember what... The discussion we had when I confronted you in your tent, and my quiet voice of the peacemaker drifts across the ice to you and from the past, as you remember this, about how we all have to come together to find a new way and how opposites should help each other.
That's what, three, right?
Well, that's quiet peacemaker. My voice is four. And
so the total of four.
And my wisdom is five.
Five
and
one.
I'm in the village, six.
But this isn't in the village.
Oh, do I get present in the scene? Did I get that stuff?
I brought the village. I brought the location in.
Jumping on the green walrus.
Yeah, you did. But you know, you get location.
Yeah, and I'm jumping
present.
On the walrus trying to stop it.
I didn't ask for that.
I
didn't
ask for present.
Is the village a location?
We tend not to do that.
Yeah, because you're not there.
That's alright, don't mind. Okay, so it's fine.
I guess other locations. So that's
fine.
And yes, you would be present in the scene, Tony.
So, there's one for me.
You definitely narrated yourself into the scene.
Yes, and probably to death.
Okay, now it's my turn.
Wow, guys.
Well, you know what? I have the respect of the village warrior, and no way is some fucking walrus going to kill me.
Did you hear it? Awesome.
A lot of the village warriors are there now.
I know.
So they could fight with you.
There. Dude, this isn't just some fucking walrus. This is the
father of walruses.
This is the fucking walrus.
I'm not, right? I'm not a big bad walrus.
You had two held over.
The walrus. Fuck. Fuck.
Oh, on your good side as well.
Oh, damn.
That's two.
Yeah.
Is that a ticket to
no.
the burn
war? You already pulled from him, right? I don't know. No, you weren't involved.
He wasn't involved. He was involved now. The expectations of leadership doesn't really apply.
Tony, I think, is in trouble.
Yeah, but Tony brought 11.
Yeah. I mean, right, your yearning for Chavalov has made you put yourself in a position where you're likely to drown or die of hypothermia or something like that. The scars and eye-twisting patterns.
Distract your one eye.
Whoa. Yeah, okay.
I always get the heebie-jeebies when I say it.
Black Bear, I'm not trying to use that in a way that makes sense. You already used Mad Woman, so I can't use it. So that's two.
So you got four.
Yearns
four
and scars?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah,
that's, two, that's
right?
Four. Total.
Not the good eye, not the good eye.
I've got these. You cover your eyes, you're not saying, oh, I've only got
but
one.
But they don't really apply here, do they?
I'm not going to stress what they do.
You can't swim. That's why you didn't come out.
Exactly. And I think it's everything. Four, I guess four.
So the Oathbreaker doesn't apply.
Oathbreaker definitely does not apply.
I'm going to go across the water to you while I sit here and my life preserver.
Fearing the Sun Fury?
You use one eye against
I use one eye. I don't think Fearing the Sun Fury is relevant here. I mean,
so he's going to get narration.
Because you're doing, what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's, and I think I do want narration. So it's two, so one, two, three, four.
Okay.
Right? So I win narration.
Yes.
Right. And so it's to master or overcome?
Yeah.
I think you guys go down fighting.
Oh, yeah, I'm down with that.
So, no, I'm totally cool with that.
Right? So, and as a matter of fact, I think what happens is, now you've got more good medicine than bad medicine, so I think you bring back Janak's, you carry Janak's body, lifeless limp body, back to the village.
Okay.
That's, I mean.
So Janak goes down fighting, but I.
So the walrus concentrates its fury on Janak.
Oh, it hates
right?
Janak.
And it hates him and pummels him with its fins, with its flippers, and gnashes at him with his. And finally it lunges, and the throw upon which you've been fighting finally shatters into a million pieces, and you come up for air. There's some turmoil in the water, and the walrus descends into the depths. You flounder around a little bit, pull yourself up onto an ice floe. You see off in the distance the floating form of Janak. You swim over to it, pull it out, bring it to shore where the waiting warriors and acolytes are there, and you bear the body.
What happened to her?
Oh, right. Shit.
But she was in the water, too.
You have more...
she could swim out, I
guess.
Yeah,
you have more good medicine than bad medicine.
Or she could totally die happy.
Well, you have more good medicine than bad medicine.
Okay. I didn't want to take that from you. You know
that's
what I mean?
No problem.
So, but okay. Yeah, I think...
So she drowned?
I think she drowned. Okay. So she...
And so I'm bearing Janak's lifeless
body. You carried the body out instead of saving the
Earth. That's right. I kept my oath.
She turned into a polar ocean wearing, like, no clothes.
No, that's good, but then...
Yeah.
All right. Well, I suppose she's a bit weak.
You can get all of your...
And that's how you run Ganakagak. This has been Virtual Play. Thanks for listening, and thanks for playing.